Hello, and welcome to the Weston Park Cancer Charity Podcast, sharing stories about our work, what we do, and the people we support. From funding life-saving research to providing practical help and emotional support, it's our job to care in every sense for our patients and their families. In this episode, we're sitting down with our Chief Executive Officer and our new Chair of the Board of Trustees to hear what their roles entail, what they hope to achieve, and what led them to join Weston Park Cancer Charity.
I'm Emma Clark. I'm the Chief Executive at Weston Park Cancer Charity. I've been here from July 2019, so pre-pandemic. So I'm Sheffield born and bred. I'm very proud of where I'm from. And for me, I'm equally proud of being part of Weston Park because it's such an iconic institution in this city, in this region. I don't think you can walk past anybody or, you know, have a conversation with, you know, friends or family who haven't been touched in some way by Weston Park. And it never fails to amaze me what people will do for Weston Park, you know, the way that people raise money, the generosity of volunteers, you know, it really feels like a huge community effort. So my role essentially is to lead the charity to deliver its strategy. I work with the Board of Trustees so that they provide direction to us, and I work with the staff team and our amazing volunteers so that we can raise the money that is needed to deliver our services, provide our grants, and we do that as well as possible. In essence, we're a charity that supports Weston Park Hospital, but more so than that, we support the one in two people in this region who are affected by cancer.
Hello, and I'm Niall Baker. I'm the Chair of the Trustees. I have been a trustee, I think, for 9 years, but we're going to check that. And I was appointed as the chairman on the 18th of April of 2022. The trustees are effectively the non-exec, so if you compare it to a business, and the charity is a business, it's in the business of raising money to make a difference for people whose lives are affected by cancer. And so the trustees are there as the non-execs who are effectively there to ensure that there's appropriate governance of the charity. It's doing what it sets out to do and to assist and help set the strategy. Well, I actually have a full-time job that I do, which is that I'm a solicitor in Sheffield. All the trustees are volunteers. All of them do not get paid, and they give up their time and their expertise. And my job is to garner them together to try and ensure that we act as one unitary board with a view to trying to deliver the strategy. I spend a bit of time each week working with Emma particularly to try and provide support for her as the CEO to effectively run the business and make sure that it continues to deliver on its goals. But I would echo what Emma says. There's a fantastic team here. Small but perfectly formed is the way I would describe it. Well, I thought long and hard about it. Do I want to be chair? And actually, I could make a difference here. And there was a need for some continuity. Because within the trustees, it's very difficult to bring a new chair in externally because the person doesn't really understand the position. For the first 2 years of being a trustee, you're finding your way. And so the reason I thought I would go for it is that I thought I had something to offer. I've been chairman of quite a few companies, but obviously it's a very different type of business. You're in the business of trying to raise as much money as possible to make as much difference. It's not about profit, it's about making a difference. And so therefore, I thought, let's give it a go. And Emma was relatively new into role, CEO. And so to a great extent, we're finding out together.
So for me, I applied for a job at the charity, so a director of services and grant giving was the post I came into in July 2019. Why I applied for that was I'd been working in the voluntary sector for about 20 years, and a lot of the work that I'd done was in different parts of the country, and I hadn't really worked in Sheffield. The work that I was doing was outside of or distant to what where matters to me and like the people that matter to me. So yeah, Sheffield born and bred, incredibly proud of it. I come from quite a rough area in Sheffield, so I guess part of my experience of wanting to make sure that the people who are underserved in our population, definitely people from, you know, where I was born and brought up, get access to good treatment and good care. So when I saw the role come up, I kind of jumped at it, really. I absolutely love it, and I've loved it from day one. And I think that matters. I genuinely think that matters. I think you've got to put your heart and soul into Weston Park. Otherwise, there's no point turning up every day.
Then you obviously changed your role.
I did change.
To CEO when the previous CEO moved on.
If I'm completely honest, and this might sound a bit, I don't know, a bit trite or a bit cliche. I wanted to do it for the people that I worked with, not necessarily for me. And I know that's, that might sound a little bit odd, but, you know, we were, as a team, we were just gone through a pandemic together. We were at a point of, you know, reopening our services, establishing transport service, and, you know, continuity and stability and all of those things to me felt really important. And that's what I wanted to ensure was available, you know, was there for everyone. Yeah, I still do check myself every now and again to think, is it really chief executive as the title? So you're born and bred in Sheffield as well.
Well, I was born in Claremont, of all places.
Were you?
When the nuns were in charge of the hospital.
Wow.
No longer. And then was spent a little bit of time in Rotherham, in fairness, until my dad decided he didn't want to be in general practice with his brother and sister-in-law anymore and moved to Sheffield when I was four. So I've been in Sheffield since I was four. And the reason why I stayed in Sheffield is because I love the city.
Yeah.
And I love all the people, and I'm still friends with the people I sat and cried with on the first day at school. So I think that Sheffield's important, and it has a fantastic reputation in the medical world. I'm actually the black sheep of the family, being a lawyer, not involved in medicine at all. And we know that Weston Park is one of the very few dedicated cancer hospitals in the country.
Yeah.
Has an amazing reputation. And the reason I wanted to become involved with the charity was my mum was treated here. She had a double mastectomy and was treated successfully, mm-hmm. as was my cousin, who actually lived in Manchester and was travelling twice a week to be treated at Weston Park because she had a particular type of cancer that could only be treated here, which gives you an idea of the specialism that is available in Sheffield and the great skills that the hospital has. Biggest challenge for people with cancer at the moment is very simply it's getting the treatment in a timely fashion, ensuring that it doesn't affect their families so much because of the financial pressures, the time pressures, the illness pressures, and therefore people need a significant amount of support. The NHS has limited resources, and therefore the charity comes into its own when it's able to support people in terms of the services and the support that it can give, which is over and above strict medical treatment, which is what makes the difference to someone's treatment and the way in which they will perceive it and come out of it, hopefully, on the other side. So there's a lot of challenges for people, but the biggest one, and one of the reasons why we need to raise money, clearly, is when you find out that people cannot come to the hospital for treatment because they can't afford to get there, that's when you realise we've got some societal issues that we really need to sort out. And we can make a small difference. We can't help everybody, but we can certainly help some.
I heard a person speak recently, and it really resonated me. And what she said was that the hospital can treat the cancer patient, but there's a lot more to the individual than being a cancer patient. And for me, that is, you know, what you've just described, Niall, in terms of people's lives, their finances, how are they going to tell their children, you know, how are they going to deal with the anxiety that they're feeling? There is so much that goes on for people that are associated with the diagnosis. And don't get me wrong, we have, you know, incredibly remarkable medical professionals who are doing their utmost, and they've done their utmost through the pandemic to continue to treat and get the best outcomes for people, but people are human beings and they have lives, and that's where I see the charity coming in and making the most difference.
This isn't just a take something out of the box and this will sort it out. Everybody needs support in a different way, and the charity and the support they give, they take the time to understand what that person needs and then try to effectively provide them with a bespoke service that suits them for their needs.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think we're in a really pivotal point for the charity. So, you know, it has just, along with the rest of the world, faced one of its biggest challenges, which is how to contend with a global pandemic. And we are coming and have come out of the other side of that. But the world, a lot of the world, looks very different. How people want to engage with the charity, how they want to access services, what people feel comfortable with is very different. So for the next few years, for me, it's about understanding what people want from us, being adaptable, just like we were through COVID, and extending our reach. So supporting more people, whether that is through our transport service, whether that is through supporting people in their own communities out across the region, or whether that is investing in more research, because we know that the pandemic has had a real impact on cancer research funding. So we have some important announcements coming soon about the detail of what those are. But the investment will be into research and also into the work that we do with partners in the community. So, you know, I am very hopeful. I'm ambitious for the charity because actually all the people involved in it, everything that I see of them, they put their heart and soul into it. So, you know, we're ambitious because we're proud people and we want really to do our best. So, yeah, I think the next few years for me are really bright for us. It is a massive thank you to our donors. You know, there's a whole variety of ways that people raise funds. And that, you know, that generosity, you know, thankfully hasn't stopped. But what they do is allow us to make those big investments to really make a difference to people's lives.
COVID had a massive effect on all charities. Fundraising dropped significantly. Donations dropped significantly. People were worried for their livelihoods. They weren't sure what was going to happen at the other side of COVID. I'm hoping that we're getting a little bit out of that side, although it has been a longer journey than any of us anticipate, and that's affected a lot of charities. We are, however, in good shape. And so in terms of what I'd hope we would achieve is that I have 3 years as chair, then I retire. And so my job and hopes really is that I leave the charity in a better position than it is now. Not that it's in a bad position, but we know that our fundraising dropped. It dropped by seven figures during COVID each year. But we also cut the things that we did during the COVID period. We now want to get back to pre-pandemic levels as a minimum of fundraising and spend. That's what's really important. What we want to do is to try and help more people, not just in terms of numbers, but also in terms of communities, try to spread the service that we're able to offer, and hence the bus which is going to be coming out, which is the bus which will hopefully give a lot more support to people in their communities. We've got to make sure that we reach those communities that don't get our services at the moment, and so we've got a lot of work to do on that. So if we can make headway into that in the next 3 years, I feel we'll have had somewhat of a success.
What do I think the public should know about Niall? I want them to know how supportive he is, how accessible, you know, he is to the charity. As you said before, all of our trustees are volunteers. They volunteer their time. And Niall gives such a lot of his time, such a lot of his expertise. There's never a moment where I feel I can't go to you, I can't pick up the phone, I can't say, we're facing this challenge, or can I get some advice on this? And I think that for the public, that goes unseen, actually. So, you know, trustees are really important for organisations, for charities to thrive. And actually, if you've got good trustees and a good chair, it can really make a difference to what a charity is capable of. So I guess it's, you know, it's a thank you. Thank you from me. Thank you from the rest of the team. But I think it is important that, you know, the wider public know the difference trustee volunteers make.
Well, when you were asking me to do this podcast and I said, do I really have to do it? It's for reasons like that that I don't really like doing it. I'm not here for accolades about me. This is about the charity and nothing else. So let's turn it on its head. What do I think the public should know about Emma? She's got a very, very large heart. And it is very much positioned so that she will always do her best for the charity, look after both her colleagues and all the people that they assist. And I think it's testament to Emma, the fact of how well she's regarded within the charity. I also know that she quite likes a sandwich from Door Cafe and a gin and tonic, if we're really going to be truthful about it.
Only on occasion. Just the one.
I said A.
That was Emma Clark, our CEO, and Niall Baker, our Chair of Trustees. To learn more about the charity's activities, how we can support you, or how you can get involved, please visit our website, www.westernpark.org.uk.
Cancer changes everything, but so can we.